Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and hold your place there and go to Matthew 12. I'll begin a two-part message and we'll finish it tonight. And the Lord just wants to continue on what He's been speaking here and really encourage our hearts to embrace what He's doing. And I want to title these messages today very simply, Withered Hands. Withered Hands. And we'll find that word in Matthew 12. And we'll read in just a moment. But I believe the Lord wants to speak to us today very, very clearly, very simply. We that are saved, we that are born again, a part of the church, and also to those of you here today that are possibly lost, you've never truly accepted Christ as your personal Savior. There may be others here that there's been a stirring in your heart. You've made some steps, but you honestly have to admit that you've never truly been born again. God wants to speak very plainly to both of us today. Amen. Those that are saved and those that are lost. And He wants to encourage our hearts of His love and mercy toward each one. And I just think that God's going to stir this house today to really rise and step forward in what God is doing and embrace everything that God has strengthened our hands to do. Everything that God has strengthened our hands to do, we'll be able to reach out and do by His mercy and grace. Let's pray this morning. Withered hands. Ask God to give you an ear to hear, saints. I was encouraging Brother Chris that there was a good stirring before the service. We encourage you again to come before the service. I can't say this enough. To encourage those of you that are saved, especially, come before this, before the services, at least a few minutes, 15, 20, possibly 30 minutes early. Prepare your hearts for the Word of God. It is too precious to miss any part of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We give You the glory for what we sense this morning, Your presence, Lord. You're here to love us, to reach out to us, Father, to embrace us. God, we thank You that Your Spirit, Your grace will strengthen us to reach back today and embrace You, Father, the things that You're doing. That we'd hear the call from the mountain, Lord God. We see Your hands and Your movements, Lord, and we would follow them, God. Lord, I pray Your people say, Lord, this is a brand new day in You. This is a day that I have awakened to, Lord. There's a fresh stirring of grace and of the Spirit of God in my heart. Lord, I endeavor now to reach out, Lord, and to hear the Word of God that will be spoken to me this morning, Lord. Give me an ear, God. Give me a heart to receive, an ear to hear. Lord, I pray there not be one idle heart here today, God, that would miss what You'll speak to us today. Lord, Holy Spirit, exalt Your Son. Lift Him up in our midst right now. I pray there'll be a hunger and a thirst in this house for the person of Jesus Christ. You promised us if we come into Your presence hungry and thirsty, You would feed us, Lord. You would quench the thirst. You would feed the hunger, Lord. God, find the people in this house today that are hungry and thirsty. Speak clearly to the hearts, Father. Clearly to the hearts. And we give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Just two verses, verses 13 and 14. Sister Beth shared these two verses, I believe, yesterday morning, or alluded to them anyhow, in what she shared to the ladies. Paul here speaking, he said, brethren, he's speaking about himself now, in all that he's done, in all the things that God has done in his heart and his life after many years of serving the Lord. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. In other words, the Holy Spirit had given him the grace and the strength to apprehend. It was through the Holy Spirit that had done that. But this one thing I do, Paul said, forget those things, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. After many shipwrecks, many beatings, having almost lost his life many times from lack of food, Paul is still saying here that there's something within me, the grace of God, the stirring of God to reach forth unto those things which are before me. And then he tells us what they are. They're the person of Jesus Christ. The mark of the high calling is nothing more than the person of Jesus Christ. To know Him in the power of His resurrections. And to know Him in all the areas that God has called us to know Him. Paul here has encouraged us that there should be a reaching forth. Yes, of forgetting those things behind. But to those that are truly saved and born again, the grace of God is sufficient to stir a desire within our hearts to be continually reaching forth to the person of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus and Matthew is in the midst of a tremendous controversy. And we'll talk about it briefly this morning. As he endeavors to lead his disciples, to mold and make them into his image, to do a work in their lives so they'll be prepared for Pentecost. Matthew 12 verse 9. And when he was departed thence, they just come out of a field there where they had eaten and they were, he was rebuked by the Pharisees. He departed thence. He went into their synagogue. He came out of the cornfield, literally came out of the cornfield with his disciples and went into the synagogue, went to the church. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Now, the Lord all day is going to speak to us concerning these withered hands. As I alluded to Philippians chapter 3, Paul here is admonishing us through the grace that has been given to us and the unction of the Holy Spirit that we should, as Christians, desire to reach forth. We should reach ahead to those things that are before us, to reach and embrace the mark of the high calling, which is a person of Jesus Christ, that we should reach forth, forgetting. And here in Matthew 12, as Jesus Christ walks continually day by day with his disciples, endeavoring to bring them to a progression and to a maturity that they're prepared for Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit will ascend and empower them for service, to empower them to live overcoming lives, he comes to this place where he finds a man with a withered hand. He finds a man that is not able to reach forth as others could. There's a disease, there's a problem within his hand that it is shriveled up and he's not able to reach forth. All day the Lord is going to speak to us, you that may be here lost today, you that are here saved, born again, endeavoring to go ahead with the Lord. If you'll listen to what the Lord is saying, you will be encouraged and challenged, and I believe taught by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit that we should rise and reach forth to the things that God has before us. Saints, we're in the last of the last days. There's many things that's taken place all over the world right now in preparation for the coming of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is getting all things ready. If ever, and a preacher could say this every Sunday and every Wednesday, if ever people should be stirred, we among the children of God should be stirred about what God has placed in our hands and stirred in our hearts of the reaching forth unto the Lord. It's no time to be distracted. It's no time to be sidetracked with issues and isms and schisms and our little problems that we should extend. And they're not little on the side of God. Don't misunderstand me. But where we allow the enemy and the flesh to make them something that they're not, that they sidetrack us and distract us from the things of God. It's time now to reach forth and embrace the person of Jesus Christ. We heard a tremendous testimony here Friday night, a beautiful testimony of how the Lord can come to a man's heart and a man's home in a very simple way. And yet as he walks in childlike obedience and embraces those childlike things, that God can take them and appropriate them to the realm of the Spirit and begin a work in his heart that he never dreamed possible. In just a matter of weeks, his life has been totally changed and revolutionized. And he's shown how he can grow and mature from those points. The prayer breakfast yesterday morning, women were stirred of the privilege and the opportunity that we can forget what's behind, the dead, lifeless things that are no longer a part of what God is doing in our lives. And we can come to new ground, that launching place, that place that we launch out with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a stirring in this house of reaching forth, the fasting and praying. God has turned us to pour out of what we have, and he'll give the increase. We've acknowledged there's joy, there's peace, there's rest that God has come to stir among brethren in this house. And God has given us a new hope, a new found vision of what was already in the house. But there's springs of water streaming up now, and we're pouring out, and God is giving the increase. He spoke to us Friday night very simply that he is looking men and women. I trust you didn't miss something the Lord was trying to say Friday night. He was endeavoring to take us to another level of maturity Friday night that would embrace the Word, and he'd bring us into a deeper level of maturity. He simply said that he's looking for men and women who have their hearts in the right place and will be totally, and I don't digress from this, and I don't apologize for a Christianity that still calls for men and women to be totally separated from the world and totally committed unto Jesus Christ. That's Christianity. It's not changed. And the Lord spoke very clearly to us that men and women who simply in childlike simplicity have their hearts in the right place and will be committed wholeheartedly to him, Those are the ones He's looking. He's looking for men and women. Yes, He knows we have our faults, our failures, our shortcomings, but yet there's a bend in our heart toward Him. There's a drawing in our heart of grace, and we're leaning toward Him. We're forgetting those things behind. We're coming to new ground, and we're desiring to reach forth. He's looking those that simply whose hearts are in the right place, who desire to be totally committed to Him. He showed us how He came. He came to build the church. And He came to battle the enemy that would try to hinder that building process. And that He desires those that will stand by Him without any reservation, totally committed to His purposes. If the Lord is calling you to launch out now in certain areas of ministry, or in your home to really be that man or woman of God that God has called you to be, or if He's asking you now to step out of this house here and go down that street, as we mentioned Friday night, and go to a home and to really pray and believe God to save a whole family, then you want to find two or three in the house that's committed, that will say, I want to pray with you. I'm willing to go with you. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is the same when He looks at the Calvary that He died on, when He looks at the grave that He rose from, when He looks at the world today and all the problems, He's still looking at men and women that say it, that He says to, I want you committed. I want your heart in the right place, for I'm still building, I'm still molding, I'm still making, I'm still bringing men out of the gutter, I'm still saving men, and I'm looking at those that will help me build and help me fight the powers of hell that are trying to tear down the family and tear down the individuals. It's no time to be half in and half out. It's no time to be a cake only baked on one side. It's time, by the Spirit and the grace of God, to be committed to what God is doing right now. Totally committed to His purposes. Standing by Him without reservation, without any reservation, without anything that's distracting you from simply loving the Lord with all your heart. And then yesterday morning at the women's fellowship, once again He reminded the women how He desires them to move forward, to press on to the mark of the high calling, which is Jesus Christ. To leave those things that are behind, that no longer have His life, His heart, forgetting those things that behind that would hinder the progress, that would hinder this newfound life. To move on past it. Not to try to drag up the old religiosity that once had the joy, that once had a little life, but God says, I moved you past that now. Don't reach back and try to bring those things to life. You can't bring any life to them. Only by the Spirit can the life of God shed forth. And to come into new ground and new life, reaching forward to embrace this newness of life that's in the person of Jesus Christ. Saints, there's a drawing. There's a stirring. And it's not man-made. It's a sound from heaven, a stirring of the Spirit of God. Jesus looking at men and women that will reach out and say, yes, 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 I want to love Him. Yes, I want to be committed. Yes, I want to be a part with all my heart of what He's doing. Yes, I want to forget those things behind that have dragged me down and hindered those around me. I want to put them where they finally belong, at the foot of the cross, in the grave, never to be resurrected again. And I want to reach forward. I want to reach forward to fully embrace. I want to reach forward to fully embrace the one who loved me and died for my sins. I want to reach out now. I want to reach forth and love Him with all my heart. I want to reach to fully embrace this person of Jesus Christ. But many times when this begins to happen, Jesus comes in contact. There'll be those that are truly reaching out. There'll be those that are truly forgotten the things behind. There'll be those that sense that fresh stirring and they've stepped out on childlike faith, not their own works, but they stepped out knowing that God is doing the work. Yes, they know they're not worthy. Yes, they know they're still false, but the Holy Ghost has said, put down all the mourning, put down the heaviness, put down all that stuff and lift your eyes toward me, the one that can lift you out of that miry clay. And they're determined to go forward. But many times, when Jesus comes to stir people like that, many times Jesus will still come in contact with those who are not reaching for that mark of the high calling. They're not really reaching forward, as Paul spoke about. They're hearing the Word. They may be involved in certain things, but yet there's still not that determination by the grace of God that has given them that determination to really reach forth to the mark of the high calling. The Holy Spirit knows it. Jesus Christ knows it. That He's come in contact in a congregation. He's come in contact in a family with those that are not reaching forth. That are not reaching out to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times He is in the presence of even His children who are still not reaching forth in certain areas of their lives. He comes to houses like this. He may come to your home. You're saved, you're born again, but yet He knows that there are areas in your life that you're still distracted, you're not reaching forth unto Him. Hindered from stretching forth their hand and embracing this newness of life. Hindered. And He comes into the presence, and this is a beautiful thing about it. He still comes into the presence, whether you're here lost or saved today. He's here, and He's coming to our presence. And He came this morning knowing that as He come in this house, He would come into contact with those, some saved and some lost. But He would come in contact with those in this house today that are still not reaching forth in those things that God has called us to reach to. That are still not pressing in to the mark of the high calling. He's here today, and He knows that, and yet He did not leave. Seemingly never able to fully embrace that which He's endeavoring to bring them into. Not able to grasp. Not able to lay hold of that which He's doing. And over the years I've seen that the Lord's stirring, and there's always those that seemingly they take a few steps and it's good, but they're not able to lay hold. They're not able to grasp and hold firmly to that God is doing. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." The Word of God admonishes us that when we see that God is doing by faith, we embrace it, we hold it fast by the grace and by the Spirit of God. Jesus said in Revelation 3, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Church is not a light thing when God is stirring. You're here, you're lost today. It's not a light thing when God the Holy Ghost has laid siege to your heart, and you know He has. He started to woo you and draw you. You don't understand it, but the love of God is beginning to swell up now. It's beginning to overshadow everything. You're starting to see through eyes you've never seen through before. You're starting to hear things that you never heard before. You may not understand them, but there's something about the grace of God that has come to embrace you. And you need to count it precious, a precious privilege when a sinner is touched by the hand of Almighty God. It's a precious thing when a child of God may be struggling or wavering just a little bit, and the Spirit of grace comes and says, "My child, I'll give you the strength to hold fast, to hold firm to what I'm doing, that it not slip out of your fingers." At least a man take your crown, that crown that you're going to throw at His feet. You see, we're going to have a crown, saints, to throw at the feet of Jesus Christ. It's not to be taken lightly when you're admonished to pray and to seek the Lord and to hear what God is saying. I'll tell you, there's jewels being added to that crown. Every time you in childlike obedience obey the things of God, there are jewels being put on that crown. And when you throw at His feet, He'll shine. He'll shine, praise God. Listen, Jesus wants every person to hold fast to Him and what He's doing in their lives. He wants every person to have the ability. Listen, He wants every person, lost or saved this morning, He wants every person to have the ability to reach forward. He wants you reaching forward today. He wants every one of us reaching forward today. And He is the very one. He is the only one that can give you the ability to reach forward, praise God. He wants us all to have that ability to reach forward. And when He comes into the presence of one who for some reason is not able to reach forward, then He reaches out with His hand and lays hold of that person. Did you hear what I said? When He comes in contact, be they lost or saved, when He comes in contact with people that do not have the ability, for whatever reason, they're not reaching out and embracing, they're not reaching out and grasping what God is doing, their hand is withered, their hand is weak, that's when Jesus Christ comes right into their midst, and He takes His right hand of power and lays on them, praise God, that is not withered, it's not weak. He reaches out with mercy and grace to heal that withered hand that is unable to reach forward until it's strengthened and enabled to embrace the fullness of His purpose and His plan. He comes. He reaches out. He enables, He strengthens that hand to be able to reach out with His full plan and His full purpose. And I believe He's here this morning. I believe He came this morning. Just as He was in these verses that we've just read. I believe He's here this morning in this house, in this church, in this synagogue, if you want to call it that, just like He was in Matthew chapter 12. I believe He's here with the same heart, the same cry, the same power, the same ability. And I believe, yes, that He has come this morning, possibly His touch has come into contact with some that are not reaching forward, lost and saved.
But He's here. He's here on this Sabbath. In this synagogue. Hallelujah. I said He's here this Sabbath, and that's what it was all about in Matthew 12. It was a controversy over the Sabbath, and He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath. I believe He's here this morning in this house to do the same thing that He did in Matthew 12. For He knew that the Holy Ghost would inspire Paul some years later to write, "The day will come when every man to his own will have to forget those things that are behind, lost or saved. There comes a place in a man's life that the seasons of God says it's time to move forward, and I'll enable you to reach your hand out and embrace everything that I have put before you, namely my Son, Jesus Christ." Now here in Matthew 12, it was the Sabbath. It was the Sabbath. And He went into their synagogue. And it said, "Behold, there was a man which had his hand withered." Behold, verse 12, verse 10, "There was a man which had his hand withered." And in Luke's gospel, we know that Luke was a physician, and Luke got a little more specific. And he would be a physician because he would be a little more mindful of these things, and the Holy Spirit could use his personality and his character to better relate what this man had. Luke said that it was his right hand. He was the only one. They said it was his right hand. So here we have a man in the synagogue with a withered hand. And here we have Jesus Christ coming out of the cornfield, breaking the Sabbath, so the Pharisee says. But now He comes into the synagogue where a man whose right hand is withered. And the Bible always relates the right hand to that of power and ability. Always. That right hand that has the power and the ability to reach forth. That right hand that has the power to leave things behind and to reach to what God is doing. Saints, God is stirring people in this house to reach forward. You've heard the testimonies. You've sensed the stirring. You get around them. You get a witness of the Spirit that God is doing something special in their lives. And it's nothing more than the grace of God has empowered that right hand, hallelujah, to reach forth one more time. A right hand of power and ability. But something here in Matthew 12 has happened to this man's right hand. Something was hindering his ability to reach forth. There was something hindering this man's ability to reach forth. There was something hindering this man's ability to have obeyed Philippians chapter 3, to reach forth to the mark of the high calling. There was something hindering that. His hand was withered. His right hand was withered. Drawn up. Curled up, and he couldn't reach forth. He couldn't reach out and grasp and hold firmly to the faith. He couldn't reach out and grasp and hold firmly the confession. Saints, listen to me. This thing is much bigger than we've ever dreamed. If we're getting the Word of God and we're steady and we're praying, we'll find that Almighty God not only sent His Son to die, but He's ever interceding for every one of His children. For He knows there's a battle raging for the souls of every man, woman, boy, and girl. This thing is not to be taken lightly. And this man here was in the synagogue, and his right hand did not have the ability to embrace the things of God. What would you do if God started stirring and God started moving and you didn't have the ability within you to reach out and embrace it? I'll tell you, everybody that's saved ought to cry out, "God, give me the ability by Your grace not to miss anything You're doing, God." This man couldn't embrace it. Are you embracing what God is doing? Are you embracing that stirring in your life? Are you really launching forth out of this new ground? Is your hand reaching forth in power and in ability, or is it withered? This man's hand was withered. There are two causes of a hand being withered. Two reasons why a hand's withered. I'll talk about the second reason tonight. And I believe that Jesus here today, this Sabbath, in the house, to deal with both of these causes. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it. God is here to deal with these causes. In the midst, where it's at. Shoulder to shoulder. Hand to hand. Not running, not leaving. Know when He came this morning, what was here. He's here today in this house, this Sabbath, to deal with both of these causes. And the result, hands that will be strengthened to reach forth unto Him. I believe that every hand that's withered here today, irrespective of lost or saved, if they will take heed to what God will say today, that hand will no longer be withered, but it will not only be able to reach out, but it will be able to reach out with power and ability to embrace everything that God has called it to embrace.
Amen.
One of these causes is a disease in the physical and the medical terms, and one of these causes is a disease in which the muscles and the bones themselves are shrunken due to a loss of nerve power or a stiffening of the joints. So a loss of nerve ability or nerve power or a stiffening of the joints causes the muscles and the bones in the hand to shrink up, and it becomes shriveled. It shrinks up because of the lack of nerves or the joints are shrinking up this or stiffening up. This hand withers. And the muscles and the bones in the hand just withers up and it can't be opened and closed and it doesn't have any power to embrace. A disease that comes. The other cause of a withered hand, very simply, is disuse. Which simply means to neglect or cease to use. To cease to use. When we cease to use that right hand, when we cease to, in the natural, if you cease to use something of your body, if you cease to use your hand, there's a good possibility that it will wither up. We all know that in the natural. It'll wither. But these two have a spiritual application as well. The disease that comes in the natural to a hand that withers it up, and the natural disuse or the neglect of using the hand that causes it to wither. There's a spiritual application to both of these. This disuse, it's not been used or exercised in a long time. It becomes withered, unable to reach forward. And God wants to speak to us today very plainly about these two causes. Now let's look at this story. Listen very carefully. Jesus came to this synagogue on a Sabbath day. And you need to hear that. He came to the synagogue on a Sabbath day, just like His presence is in this house. And there was a man, as he came into the synagogue, with a withered hand. And the Pharisees, seeing this, seeing what? They saw Jesus come into the synagogue, and they saw a man with a withered hand. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked Jesus a question. It's in verse 10. They asked Him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Notice the question, and I want you to get this. He walks into the synagogue, and it looks as if immediately upon entering into the synagogue, the Pharisees approached Jesus. They had just left the cornfield arguing with Him about His breaking of the rabbinical Sabbath, of how His disciples should not have reached out and took the corn, took off the husk, and rubbed it until they were able to eat it. He reminded them then of David and his men, how they ate on Sunday when they were hungry. He carried them back to the one king that they all had respect of. Not Solomon, but David, who they knew, even with his problems, had a heart after God. And they were left speechless again. So now he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath. And they see him walk in, and there's the man with the withered hand. And they ask Jesus a question. They say, Jesus, the same Jesus that's here today by the Spirit of God that saved our souls. They said, Jesus, verse 10, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And they did this, and it says that they might accuse Him. Now, if you know anything about this and you've studied anything about the sabbatical and the controversy with the Pharisees, there was a tremendous controversy between the Pharisees and Jesus about the Sabbath. They were convinced that He had no respect of their Sabbath, when in actuality He probably had more respect for it than they did themselves. They questioned His actions on the Sabbath over and over. And I don't have the time to elaborate this morning on this as far as the controversy and all that it entailed. But the authority, now listen very carefully, the authority that Jesus exercised on their Sabbath, be it to heal or to forgive. Now you think about what I just said. We're here this morning on a Sabbath, on a Sunday. The presence of Christ is here this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. It happened here in the Gospels when Jesus Christ would come to a house as He did, as He's here this morning. He'd come to this house where He was questioned. And as Jesus Christ exercised on their Sabbath, just like He will on our Sabbath, the exercising of that authority that He has today. Not because I stand in this pulpit, not because those men sit there, but because He is the Son of God. He has the right, He has the power, He has the ability, and He has the authority to be in this house. And thank God that He does. He has the authority to come to this house and to heal and to forgive of sin. Apart from that, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be children of God. We wouldn't be born again. So He was exercising His right and His authority in the house of God on this Sabbath when He was approached with this question. And the very reason, the very fact that He exercised His authority on the Sabbath in the synagogue to heal and to forgive sins, this would be the determining factor in their decision to kill Him. Listen to what I just said. It was not the healing, it was not the forgiveness of sins, it was not the raising of the Lazarus from the dead that would be the final determining factor of Jesus being crucified. The final determining factor, and look at verse 14, I'll show it to you. Then, after these two occasions here that He breaks the Sabbath in their mind, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against Him how they might destroy Him. And every day from that day forth until He hung on the cross, they were determined to crucify Christ. The very fact that He was in the Sabbath, in the synagogue on that Sabbath that day was a determining factor that your Lord and your Savior was crucified, spit upon, His hair pulled out, the spear in His side, the nails in His hands and His feet. The very thing that turned them was the fact that He refused not to come into the midst of those that were hurting and bleeding and dying on the Sabbath and say, no, I will not touch them. He said, yes, I have the authority and I have the cry in my heart to reach out to them, praise God. And I will never stop that. Amen. You're here saved or lost today and your hand is in any degree withered. I'll tell you, you ought to want to shout because He laid it down that day. I'll never stop coming into my house and reaching out to those that are hurting. It cost Him His life. And the great thing about this is that He knew this. You see, He knew He was going to the cross. He knew He was going to die. And He knew there would be that thing that would trigger their hearts and trigger their minds. He knew as good as He knows you're sitting in that seat today. He knew that if He continued to press the issue on the Sabbath, Jesus knew, I believe, from the Father that this would be the very thing that would trigger His crucifixion. And yet, He refused to back away. He still healed the withered hand. No matter the cost, He reached out to this man in the synagogue that day. And that same Jesus is here this morning. Don't matter what man says. Don't matter what religion says. That man still comes to houses that welcome His presence. That where two or three are gathered. He walks in on a Sunday morning by the presence of the Holy Ghost, reaching out to every withered hand. Praise God. Amen. Now let's look close at verse 9 and 10 again. Are you with me? When He was departed thence, He went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked Him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse Him? Now, what do you see here in these verses? Let's break this down and see what is in these verses. There's three things in these verses. Very simply. One, Jesus walks into the synagogue. Two, there's a man with a withered hand. And three, there's a question about the man getting healed. One, Jesus walks into the synagogue. Two, there's a man already in the synagogue that has a withered hand. And three, this results in a question about the man getting healed. Now let me ask you a question. Why did the enemies of Jesus compliment Him? They didn't recognize what they were doing. Why did the enemies of Jesus compliment Him with a question about healing on the Sabbath. Are you with me? You'll get it. Why would they, when he had just walked in, and there's a man that's a withered hand, he may be in the corner back there or in the back somewhere, may have been from one end of the building to the other, but immediately when Jesus walks into the midst of a healing of a man that has a hand that's withered, the first thing that goes off of their mind is to ask him, what about healing on the Sabbath? Somebody's getting it. Why would they compliment him with such a question? Whether they understood it or not, this question was a compliment. Why would they mention healing? Why would they even use in their vocabulary healing? Why would they just rebuke him for coming into the house? Why would they just ask the man that's withered to get out? Why would they mention the word healing? Listen, they didn't like what Jesus stood for. They didn't like him. But with this question, they acknowledged something. They didn't like it, but they had to acknowledge it. With this question, they acknowledged that when Jesus comes into the presence of those on the Sabbath that are withered or crippled or broken or whatever the problem, they know that He has the desire and the ability to set them free. They didn't have to wait for Jesus to call him. They didn't have to wait for Christ to get close to the man. They didn't have to wait to see if their eyes met. They knew the moment he walked in that now he's there and he'll see him and something's about to happen. Amen. Church, are you hearing this? Are you on fire for God? Is your hand a little withered this morning? He is boldly telling you, if I'm in your midst, praise God, there's no Pharisee, there's no devil, there's no religion that'll stop me from reaching out and touching you if you'll let me. Whatever the problem, those Pharisees knew that this Jesus that they didn't like, this Jesus that they didn't like what he stood for, but they knew that when he came into this house, he had the desire. There was a cry in his heart. You're here lost today. I'll tell you now, God doesn't love me or these pastors here any more than he does you. He's here in this house for those that are saved whose hand is not reaching out like it should. I'll tell you, but make notice on every demon, every devil in hell. You may be lost here today, but the Son of God still comes to the house on the Sabbath, praise God, to deal with those that are lost whose hand has not yet reached out to touch him, Jesus. They instantly connected Jesus, the man with the withered hand, and the Sabbath with healing. They instantly connected, if Jesus is in the house with the withered man on the Sabbath, something's going to happen. Hallelujah. I boldly proclaim we can do the same today. If we'll pray and seek the face of God, if we as Christians will allow the Holy Ghost to bring us into this new ground where we just trust Him with childlike faith and begin to pray, I'll tell you, He still visits the Sabbath. He still visits the house of God, and He comes in spite of ourselves, and He reached out to those whose hands are withered. I believe Jesus is here on this Sabbath today. I believe there are those with withered hands here this morning. And I believe He's come to make that withered hand whole. Hallelujah. Some of you are not reaching for Him. He's come to make that hand whole. Able to reach forth unto Him. He is here to associate Himself with your need. He associated Himself with sinners, and that's what they didn't like about Him. If you're so holy and righteous, then why do you get around the sinners? Now let's look at His answer. They give Him the question. Let's look at His answer. Verse 11. He said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? That's His answer. He answered them with a question. And what He said to them is the same way He feels about every person in this house. What He said to the Pharisees about their own sheep is the same way He feels about every person in this house, lost or saved, doesn't matter. He feels the same way. No, this is his response to what? His enemy. This is his response to his enemy. And I believe it's also the answer to the enemy of your soul. Whatever it may be. That does not want Jesus to touch your withered hand this morning. Now what did Jesus say? Let's read again. What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Young people, are you here today? Are you saved? Maybe you are, but that hand's not reaching forth like it ought to. He says, I'll come. I will lay my hand a hold on you. I will lift you out. Praise God. Notice what he says. What man among you that shall see one sheep? Read it. What man among you that shall see one sheep? Your Bible say that? No, it don't. Look at it close. What man among you that shall see one sheep? Does it say see? No. What does it say? Have. What man among you that have one sheep? It don't say see. It says have. What man shall have one sheep? Or is that by happen chance? Did the Holy Ghost just mix word? No, ma'am. Not at all. No, sir. You see, Jesus is not just saying, listen, that he walks into a synagogue as he has here today on the Sabbath. He's not just saying that he walks in and he sees a man. Well, I just by happen chance saw him. That is not what he said. He didn't say I walked in and by happen chance I saw the man. Oh no, he made it much more personal than that. Jesus was saying, that man belongs to me. He's mine. Which one of you having a sheep, if he fell into a pit, wouldn't you lay hands on him and pick him up? Which one of you having a sheep? He said, this is more personal than me just walking and seeing the gal or seeing Joe and maybe by chance seeing them. No, they are mine. I have them. They are mine. Praise God. That man belongs to me. He was saying, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I ain't just seen them. I've got a mark on them. They're mine. They're mine. Lost or saved. They're mine. I have come for those who have need of a physician whose hand is withered. If you're lost and you've never reached to Christ, your hand's withered. He said, I've come for those not that are whole, but for those that have need of a physician. I didn't just see him. He's marked. He's mine. He was saying to them, if they had a sheep on the Sabbath that was in a pit, wouldn't they lay hold of it and lift it out? He said, how much is a man of more value than a sheep? Hallelujah. How much more value are you this morning than a sheep to a Pharisee? I'll tell you, you're of much more value to Jesus Christ, lost or saved. Matter of fact, you are so much value to God that He gave His Son to die for your sins. You are much more value to Him than a sheep is to a Pharisee. And I've come to lift this man out. I didn't come just to lay my eyes on him. I come to lay my hands on him. Oh, you're here lost this morning. You see, you've met a man. You may not have accepted him yet. But see what's happened. You've met a man that some 2,000 years ago, he knew that the very determining factor of him being crucified would be him going into a Sabbath like this one today, into a synagogue and healing and setting free and forgiving sins. He said, that's all right, but I'm going to establish a principle that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm free to walk in. And if I find one that's withered, I'm not just going to look at him. I'm going to mock him, praise God. And you can't run far enough to get away from the love of God. Hallelujah. I've come to seek and save that which was lost. I've come to heal those that have a need, a physician. What was Christ saying, saints? I believe he was crying out. He was saying, look, I can't just look on this man. Who do you think I am? I'm the Son of Almighty God. There's a cry I've been birthed in my heart from heaven. I can't just look on him. I'm claiming him for my own. This is my man. I've got to reach out to him. Every sinew, every fiber, everything in me wants to reach out and touch this man, and you dare tell me I can't. I'll defy everything, every law, every regulation, every rule. I'll touch him. If I hear a cry in his heart, I'll run to him, praise God.
Hallelujah.
I got to reach out. Hallelujah. I've come to reach to him. I've come to reach to him that he might reach back to me. And we're not going to get excited about fasting and praying and reaching out and pressing no way. We're going to get stirred and excited. I'm reaching out to him that he may reach back to me. I've come to mark him. I've come to mark this man. He will tell them Pharisees, I've come to mark him. I've come to mark him with my grace. And I'm claiming him today. I'm claiming him today. I'll tell you, there's somebody in this house, and I can say it with a smile, and I can say it with joy. I don't feel no heaviness. I don't feel no downtrodden spirit. I'll tell you, there's some of you in this house that Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Ghost and the grace of God, he's already marked you. You're already marked, praise God. He's already declared in the heavens, they're going to be mine. They're going to be mine. I'll have them. I'll lock their name in the Lamb with the lock one day, praise God. You've been marked. You've been marked. You've been marked just like this man. Look at him. Oh no, I ain't looking. I've done marked him. He's mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've marked him. I'm claiming him now. He's claimed some of you. You haven't yet reached out. Their hand's still withered, but he's in your midst. He's not only on the Sabbath, but he follows you sometimes on a Tuesday. You get up for work on a Wednesday morning, and there's something tugging your heart. You want to get rid of it, but you can't. You can't drink it down. You can't look it away. You can't talk it out. It's something more supernatural than you've ever dreamed of. It's Jesus having marked you and said, he's mine. He don't give up easy either. You met one that's not a quitter. He said, on the cross, it is finished. I've dotted every I. I've crossed every T, and I won't quit. I believe that's what he's doing in this house today. Remember I said there's two calls of withered hands. He's here today to deal with both. But the first call is the disease in which the muscles and the bones and the nerves are all affected. And a man, a husband, or a father, or a wife, or a child, or a son or daughter in the spiritual realm, their hand is withered, their spiritual life is withered, and they're not reaching for God. They're not born again. I believe spiritually this disease is sin. Sin. It's that hand which is withered this morning because it's never accepted Christ as its personal Savior. Still separated from God. Still not reaching out to Him. Still not able to embrace Him. For sin has made the muscles and the bones and the nerves and the joints weak. And you can't reach out. But He's in the house. Pharisees recognize it. They know He's here. They know the man with the withered hands close by. Something's about to happen. Hallelujah. You that are praying for lost loved ones, just keep praying that they continually come into His presence. Something will happen. The Pharisee says, what about healing on the Sabbath? I believe Jesus shouted, oh, you already recognize. You won't say it, but you know I got the authority and I got the ability and I got the cry to set him free. You hear lost today, sin has affected every area of your hand. The hand being that enables you to reach forth to Christ. But He came that day, the Sabbath, to claim that man for His own. And He's doing the same with some that are in this house today and that are visiting this house and that we're visiting and coming to other churches on other Sabbaths. I'll tell you, He's still there, hallelujah, claiming men for His own, coming to the house of God. He comes to lay hold of them and bring them out of their pit. You see, the Sabbath, let me give you a quick analogy of the Sabbath, a quick teaching real quick. The Sabbath was made for rest. You with me? And He looks at you that are not saved today, not born again, And He knows you're not at rest. Y'all didn't get that? I said the Sabbath is for a spiritual rest. And He looks at those in the world today that are not born again and say, I don't care what you've accumulated. I don't care what you have. I don't care how much you seemingly, but I'll tell you, if God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has marked you by His grace and His conviction, and you've been marked, you are a restless person. And Jesus says, you're going to tell me that with my authority I can't come on the Sabbath and give a man the rest that he needs? I am coming to give him rest in his soul. That withered hand, if you're here lost this morning, has made you restless. I know. You see, I've lived there too. I've been on the other side of this coin too. I was 25 before I got saved. I know what it is to have this restlessness. I know how it is to paint it and cover it up and still be the man. Handle it. They ain't bothering me that bad. I can handle it. I can go to church. I can handle it there too. But there's a restlessness about you. My mama started to see it. My buddy started to see it. I might have been a little ill-tempered. You might be something else. But there's a restlessness. It's made you restless. It's caused you and those things around you to suffer. It's limited you in your lifetime to mere existence. Instead of having life. Instead of having His life and His guidance and His peace and His joy, your life has now come into a mere existence. Because you've been touched. You got into His presence one time too many. Hallelujah. I'm smiling because I like it. I know how it was when I got saved. He sees you restless and suffering and limited. And He says, that man's mine. He's mine. I see him restless. He's suffering. He's limited. That man's mine. I'm marking him with my grace. I'm going to start to give him a desire to be made whole. I'm going to start giving him the ability to reach to me. He don't even like me. Matter of fact, he cursed me yesterday. But that's all right. That's all right. Somebody been praying for him. Somebody been laid hold to the altar. And I'm not going to run. I'm going to be in the house on Sunday. I'll be in his house on Tuesday. I'll be with him at work on Thursday. And I ain't going to back away.
Amen.
I'm going to start giving desire to be whole and to love me that he cursed. He's going to start getting the desire to want me a little bit. That's why John said, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And John will say, the power to be born again. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus is simply exercising his lordship by saving men on the Sabbath, or Tuesday, or Friday. He's just simply exercising his authority and his lordship. And I tell you, you're in a tough battle. You're in a tough one. He don't quit. He don't give up. He's got weaponry in his arsenal you have never thought of. Glory to God. It's called love. And you sitting there knowing who you are, how you are, what you are. But yet he gets up on a Tuesday morning with you and sits there at that table, and all of a sudden those tears start to come out of them eyes and you don't know why. He pulled out the arsenal of his arsenal, love and mercy. Then verse 13 says, then saith Jesus to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. You see that in a moment. In a moment. Hands which have been useless for spiritual and righteous purposes are automatically made whole. A hand that was reaching to the world, a hand that was more concerned about self than anything of God, all of a sudden, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that withered hand is made whole. And in the spiritual realm, that man starts to reach for things that are good, that are holy, that are righteous.
Amen.
He starts reaching for his Bible. He starts reaching for a hymnal. He starts reaching for his car to go to the house of God. He starts to go pray. He starts to get up early and seek the face of God. He starts to read a devotion to his little girl. He don't understand it, but something's happened, praise God. His hand is no longer withered.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In a moment, the muscles and the bones and the nerves and the joints, just like that, are all affected at the same time. That hand begins to reach out now to those around it with the love of God. It now touches that husband or wife. It now touches that mother or father or that son or daughter. That hand reaches out now and embraces life with a newfound peace and joy. The restlessness, the suffering, the limitation of sin has been broken. That fear that had told you, I would like to be a Christian, but I'm afraid I'll fail. That fear has been broken. That paralyzing habit that bounds you up, that says you'll never get free, it's been broken, praise God. And Jesus is still coming to synagogues on the Sabbath. He's still coming to claim men for his own. He's still marking them with grace. Some of you here and some that's been visiting, you've been marked. Hallelujah. He still comes with his cleansing blood to wash and make you white as snow. He said in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. The word reason there means convicted. Hallelujah. You've been convicted. You've been stirred. You've been touched. I remember the conviction of the Lord. I remember trying to reason with that conviction. I remember trying to get it off of me. I remember trying to work this up and do that and get interested in this habit or this little thing over here. Let's start doing this now to take more of my time and I can get rid of whatever this is. And I couldn't get rid of whatever that was. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you can't either. I tried to reason with it. But you can't reason with conviction. You can't reason with conviction. You either turn from it or you accept it. And if you accept it, that conviction gives you the power to be saved, praise God.
Amen.
I remember the conviction of the Lord when I was lost and withered. But thank God His grace gave me a desire to be willing and obedient. And I reached out that Sunday morning 20 years ago in the little Baptist church at all. I reached out and took Him by the hand. I remember when Brother Milton was lost and withered. But he stretched forth his hand now. Hallelujah. And it's affecting everything around him. It's touching everybody around him. He's embracing Jesus. I remember when Vidal and Lorena came, lost, a mess, withered. But Jesus said, I'm going to come right in their midst. I'm going to lay my hands on them and pick them up out of their pit. They've been affected, they've been touched, and now their hand is not withered. And not only are they reaching for Jesus, but they're starting to reach out to those around them, praise God. I remember when a Rick and a Glenda and a Tim and a Dee Dee were lost and withered. I remember them getting saved. Jesus came to the house one day, laid hold of them, and brought them out of their pit. He came and associated Himself with them in their sins. He claimed them for His own. He's made that withered hand a right hand of power that's able to reach for the mark of the high calling that's in Jesus Christ. And He's marked others here today. Fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, sons and daughters. He's marked them with the grace of God. He's not just seeing you. He says, they're going to be mine. He's marked you. And you that are praying, just keep praying. Because by the grace of God, they're just about ready to stretch forth their hand and be born again. Peace and rest. Hallelujah. Will enter
their soul and their home. And the restlessness will be removed. And the hand that was withered will be reaching out in love and in mercy and grace, not only to Christ, but to those around them. Because they stand amazed that this man would pay his very life's blood just to go to a Sabbath to touch one withered man. And that's what he did. Are you here lost today? Have you ever really reached for Jesus to make Him your Lord and Savior? What about it, child of God? Realize what it cost Jesus Christ to come to the Sabbath that day. From that day forward, they marked Him to kill Him. Over one man being healed in their synagogue. Jesus would have done it all over again. He loves you that much. Child of God, is this area in your heart where your hand is withered? Are you really reaching on to the Lord? Are you really reaching to embrace Him with all your heart?